if this is my throne, this must be my scepter. Be careful, Jim, because this scepter can be turned into a rod. We'll be studying this morning in Psalm 92. Psalm 92. The last time I spoke here, I spoke on the subject of separation. And I touched the subject of the Passion movie by Mel Gibson. I understand that some of you were offended. Forgive me. I don't want to offend. I want to honor the Lord Jesus Christ. I need your prayers. I've made many mistakes, and I might be wrong on my evaluation of that movie. Pray that the Lord would guide me to show me the truth. I represent the one who is the truth. I'm proclaiming the message from the book that is the truth. And I have an obligation to speak the truth in love. I am genuinely excited about the rapture, the blessed hope. The Lord Jesus is coming very soon. I tell you, that's a wonderful truth. I'm excited about it. But I have to admit and confess to you that I'm not as excited about the judgment seat of Christ. I'm not as excited about the judgment seat of Christ. Because I've made so many mistakes in my life. I've done so many things that are not right. That I'm afraid that at the judgment seat of Christ, I will be providing wood, hay, and stubble. And when it's tested by fire, at the judgment seat of Christ, all that I will have left is a handful of ashes. You pray for me. Pray that God would touch my heart, that when I minister the word of God, that it's for His glory, because I really want to hear my master say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." A verse that has been a very challenge to my heart is in James chapter 3 verse 1. It tells us there that the teacher is going to be more accountable in the judgment. I profess to be a teacher of the Word of God, and I presume that this is what it means, that at the judgment seat of Christ, the teacher is going to be more accountable than the disciples. The shepherd is more accountable than the lambs and the sheep. The elders are more accountable than the lambs and the sheep. This is a challenge to me, beloved. It's a challenge to my heart. That's why I ask you to pray for me. That if I am wrong, the Lord will show me. I do not want to offend. I want to be used of God to build up the people of God, not to tear them down. Psalm 92, please. Psalm 92. And we'll read from verse 12. The righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still be bearing fruit in old age. They shall be fresh and flourishing. Here is a delightful passage of Scripture. The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. What does that mean? What does the Spirit of God mean by that statement? The righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. Who are the righteous? My Bible says there's none righteous. Where do we go from there? There's none righteous. No, not one. The only righteous one is the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's none righteous, no, not one. What would the Spirit of God mean when it says, the righteous shall flourish like the palm tree? Who are the righteous? Let me suggest that the righteous is the unrighteous made righteous by imputation. Let me run that fast again. The righteous is the unrighteous that have been made righteous by imputation. What is imputation? That's a beautiful, beautiful doctrine in the Word of God. It thrills my heart. It simply means that the righteousness of God becomes my righteousness because of the Lord Jesus Christ going to Calvary. If you're a born-again Christian believer, that's who you are. You're the one that the psalmist is speaking about. The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. I had a delightful study. I looked up in a encyclopedia, the palm tree. I tell you, I can recommend it if you have access to the encyclopedia. Be sure and look up the palm tree. Your soul will be thrilled. I had the privilege, and I found many, many beautiful lessons from this passage of Scripture. The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. Do you notice in this verse that there are two trees mentioned? The cedar tree and the palm tree, two very different trees. But the righteous are like the palm tree, and the righteous are like the cedar tree. What's the difference between the cedar tree and the palm tree? Well, the cedar tree is a very durable tree. The cedars of Lebanon are able to endure the weather, the temperatures of Lebanon. Endurance. The righteous like the cedar. The palm tree, that is known for its fruitfulness. So whether it's durability or whether it's fruitfulness, both are used by God. I'd like you to observe in our study that the Bible opens with trees and it closes with trees. I think that's significant. It opens with trees, the tree in the midst of the garden, the tree of knowledge of good and evil, and that tree reminds us of sin. In the last chapter, the book of the Revelation, we have the trees bearing fruit in paradise, in glory. 12 manner of fruit, suggesting the blessings that we can expect in paradise. The Bible opens with trees. It closes with trees. The tree in the book of Genesis reminds us of sin. Sin entered the world via that tree, the forbidden tree. The trees bearing 12 kinds of fruit in paradise reminds us of the blessings that are going to be ours in glory. I'd like to remind you of a tree that is midway between these two trees. Peter talks about it. The cross of the Lord Jesus Christ is called a tree. And it's that tree that redeems sinners and saves them and takes them to glory to enjoy all of the blessings in glory in Christ. There are three points that I'd like to pursue in our study of the palm tree. The characteristics of the palm tree. Secondly, we want to consider the usefulness of the palm tree. And thirdly, we'd like to consider the symbolism of the palm tree. Characteristics of the palm tree. According to the Encyclopedia and the Bible, the date palm is the common palm in the Bible land, many other palm trees, but it's the common palm, as the fig tree and others. But one of the characteristics of the palm tree, it is stately. It grows tall. It grows straight and strong. Some of those palm trees grow 60 feet to 100 feet high. And some of those palm trees, according to the Encyclopedia, live 100 to 200 years. There's got to be some spiritual lessons there for us. Another characteristic of the palm tree is the stability of the palm tree. The roots of the palm tree go as deep in the ground as it grows above. I think that's beautiful. When I read about that, it thrilled my soul. If it grows 60 feet up that's going to grow 60 feet into the ground. If it grows 100 feet high, it grows 100 feet into the ground. Do you remember a scripture? Colossians chapter 2, verse 7, I'll give it to you. Rooted, that's downward, isn't it? That's preparing the stability, isn't it? Rooted and built up, that's going the other direction, isn't it? And it says, Paul tells us there, it is established in faith as you are taught the Word of God. Boy, you could have a series of studies on that, couldn't you? Another feature of the palm tree is that it is evergreen. Always green. Because it thrives in dry places and in all seasons, how beautiful that is in application to the Christian. In other words, there is consistent evidence of life, evergreen. There is consistent evidence of growth. We don't want to remain little babes in Christ. It's wonderful to be a babe in Christ, but don't stay there. Grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Evergreen is evidence of bearing fruit. It's either bearing fruit now or it's going to bear fruit very soon. Another characteristic of the palm, notice in verse 13, it uses the word planted. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord. Planted. According to the information on the palm tree, the palm tree is domesticated. Doesn't grow wild. And it needs tender, loving care from the time it is planted. You can build a series of studies on that one. Another characteristic of the palm tree is it grows from within. You know, your other trees that we're acquainted with, the oak tree, the cedar tree, those trees grow from the outside. Every year, it grows another ring around the outside of the trunk. They can cut a tree crossways, and they can count the rings of the tree, and they can tell you how old it is. I can't, but they can. Because you see, the normal tree grows from the outside. But the palm tree grows from within. Every year, and every year, there is new energy from the heart, from the inside. That makes the palm tree tender-hearted, but tough-skinned. Can you apply that? Boy, you won't be a Christian very long but until you know that that's the characteristic that you need. You need a tender heart, and you need tough skin. It's not an easy road. And because of this, it endures the fierce desert storms. It bends, but it doesn't break. I like that. Don't you like to meet a Christian that maybe he'll bend under the pressures, but he's not going to break? He's going to go on for the Lord anyway. In other words, on another scripture, 2 Corinthians 4:16, the outward man perishes, but the inward man is renewed every day. Tender within, tough without. Another feature, according to the information encyclopedia, the fruit of this palm tree is more visible from above than it is from below. Can't see it too well from below, but from above. In other words, God is able to see it. It's not so much whether your fellow man is able to see it, but if God is able to see the fruitfulness. Another characteristic that thrilled my soul, the palm tree, according to them, has a natural dust repellent. I like that. That's easy to make application, isn't it? It's a natural dust repellent. The leaves remain clean in a dust storm. I like that. We're living in a contaminated world. You believe that? But for the Christian, the leaves can remain clean in the dust storm. We're in the world, but we are not contaminated by it. You know why? Because there's provision for sanctification. There's provision for cleansing. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That is dust repellent, beloved. And then my Bible, water is the symbol of the Bible, of the Word of God. And it has a cleansing effect. Cleanse them by thy word. Another feature of the palm tree, it won't mix. Won't mix with other trees. Maybe you're acquainted with grafting. You can take a branch from one tree and graft it into another tree. You can take a branch from an apple tree and graft it into an oak tree and it'll produce fruit. A palm tree won't do that. Can't mix. Can't be planted with other trees. That takes us back to the subject of separation, doesn't it? Come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Study the book of Acts, the history of the early church. One of the delightful things in the book of Acts is the unity that they enjoyed because of fellowship one with another. I tell you, the fellowship of the local assembly, the fellowship of the people of God, it's wonderful, it's beautiful. Our second point, the usefulness of the palm tree. The encyclopedia that I read suggested that there are over 200 uses for the palm tree. That's not bad, is it? Food, shade, rope, baskets, mats, on and on and on. They suggest over 200 uses for the palm tree. Why did God create man in the Garden of Eden? To be useful. And because of sin, he lost his ability to be useful. Why did God provide salvation to redeem man? To regain that usefulness. To become a blessing to God and to become a blessing to our fellow man. That's what we should be doing as Christians. We should be providing physical food, yes, but spiritual food also. Shade, protection from the heat of the sun, comfort for the weary traveler. That's all part of the ministry of the believer. The palm tree in the Bible land is the evidence of an oasis. I've had the privilege of seeing several oases in the Sinai Desert on our way from the Bible land to Egypt. We saw some oases in the desert. And as I read about it in the encyclopedia, it's a beautiful, beautiful experience for the traveler, for the pilgrim traveling through the wilderness. Because you see, the oasis is an indicator of water. There'll be water there. You can't have an oasis without water. And the travelers in the wilderness, they look forward to seeing an oasis in the desert. Provides them with food. It provides them with water. It provides them with shelter and many, many other things. And it's not a mirage. You know, according to the encyclopedia, mirage has a very... I just don't understand what's happening. But you're walking in the wilderness and you look off and you see an oasis. And you start out for that oasis and you never get there because it's only a mirage. I don't know what is happening. Some of you scientists probably can explain it, but there's some type of reflection in the atmosphere that makes it look like an oasis, and it's only a mirage. Mirage. You know, the world is full of them, isn't it? The world is full of them. For the pilgrim's refreshment. Do you remember when Paul wrote to Philemon? This is the statement that he made in verse 7. The saints are refreshed by thee, brother. Isn't that a nice testimony? Saints are refreshed. Philemon was a saint refresher. Would to God that I could have such a testimony to refresh the saints, to have something to encourage them in their Christian life. Another feature of the palm tree, of the oasis in the desert, it became a signpost to show the way to the way for the pilgrims. See, they didn't have maps. They didn't have compasses. They had to depend on other means. And they would come to an oasis, and then they would know in which direction to go for the next one. It became a signpost for them. Now, isn't that what the Christian is all about? To be a signpost? As evangelists, we're signposts for the sinner to know the direction to go for salvation. The shepherd, he's a signpost too, to guide and to lead the lambs and the sheep into the green pastures and beside the still waters. Look at verse 14. That's a thrill to me. They shall still bear fruit in old age. That's me. I'm a senior citizen, believe it or not. And I'm looking into the faces of some senior citizens too. But here's some good news. They shall bear fruit in old age. They shall be fresh and flourishing. According to the encyclopedia I read, the palm tree bears its sweetest fruit in old age. That's good news, isn't it, oldies? That's good news. There are some advantages of being senior citizens. You know that, young guys? There are some advantages. One of the advantages is that we're standing closer to glory. Isn't that an advantage? Isn't that wonderful? Standing closer to glory. And we were talking about my scepter here. That's an advantage too. That kind of helps me keep my equilibrium. And you know, there's some real advantages in having a cane. You'd be surprised how the people come from all directions to open the door for you or to help you down the street, down the steps or across the street. There's some advantages in being senior, you know. And then there's the senior 10% discount on Tuesday. Number three, symbolism. We've considered the characteristics of the palm tree. We've considered the usefulness of the palm tree. And now the symbolism of the palm tree. It has religious association in the scriptures in both the Old Testament and in the New Testament. For example, in the Old Testament, the booths at the Feast of Tabernacles, that was one of the feasts of the Jews, a little hut of some kind that they lived in for 7 days. You read about it in Leviticus chapter 23. You know what those booths were made out of? Palm trees. Has a religious connotation. I suppose to the Jews in the Old Testament, it meant a lot to them. And then you study the temple and the tabernacle in the Old Testament. It was filled with palm symbols in the veil. Many places in the temple, it had the symbol of a palm tree. Do you think that God had a reason for this? Do you believe that the passage that we're studying, the righteous shall flourish like a palm tree, do you think that God had a purpose, a reason for it? But there are spiritual illustrations, and of course the verse that we're considering has the spiritual illustration, the righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. As we mentioned, the repentant sinner has the imputed righteousness of God. And notice the position of the palm tree. Verse 13. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord. That's got to have some spiritual lessons in it. Planted in the house of the Lord. Palm branches are symbols of victory and joy. Remember the triumphal entry of the Lord Jesus? As he entered into Jerusalem and they tried to make him king, remember what they did? They cut branches of palm trees and scattered them in the way, saying, Hosanna to the king. And then if you study the book of the Revelation, you will find that the tribulation saints stood before the throne with palm trees in their hands, singing hallelujah. Useful, durable, fruitful, an oasis for weary travelers, evergreen, ever fruitful, always something for God and something for man. Do you remember one day the Lord Jesus with his disciples? He was hungry. And he went to the fig tree to get something to eat. What did he find? Nothing but leaves. Is that a possibility, Christian? That all we can give to the Lord is leaves? I'd like to close with looking at verse 7, a contrast to what we've been talking about. Not the righteous, but here we have the wicked. And the wicked are not like the palm tree. The wicked spring up like the grass. Like grass. What's the difference? Grass is weak, it has no strength to it. It is soon cut down and it withers and it's thrown into the fire. That's a picture of the wicked. But the righteous shall flourish like the palm tree, he shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bear fruit in old age. They shall be fresh and flourishing. Let us pray. Father, we thank Thee for giving us this passage of Scripture. We thank Thee for the many lessons that the palm tree shares with us. We pray that we will learn the lessons well, that we will be useful, that we will be fruitful, that we will be evergreen, that we will be signposts guiding and directing the weary traveler on his way to paradise. Pray that you would bless the Word of God. Help us to love it. Help us to believe it. Help us to stand firm in the faith. And we'll give Thee all the glory in our Savior's name. Amen.